Take your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter number 8 this evening. Looking near the end of the chapter. I'm actually looking several times back at this chapter, so make sure you put a marker in it in John chapter 8. And tonight, I'm going to give you a simple message tonight. And I didn't know, Brother Cole is, he's up there, I think, so I'll bring my microphone down a little bit. It's a little on the loud side. I think we'll work out okay. So I'm not going to give you a simple message. That means I'll be done probably 8:30, 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30 with that. But there are times that we need a simple message. There are times that we need just a simple truth of God's Word, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. In a time where we take stock and really think about how we respond to certain truths. And tonight we're going to look at three responses that a Christian can have to truth. Three responses a Christian can have to truth. And whatever response tonight, we're going to look at three of them. Whatever response is true of you will give a picture of your true spiritual condition. So tonight, what a litmus test, if you will, of maybe helping us understand where we are spiritually by the three responses that we have. Responding, the message entitled Responding to Truth. Responding to truth. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're in John chapter 8. We're going to read verses 32 through 36 this evening, and then we'll go ahead and get started. God's Word says, and I'll start in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our message tonight. For this is not just for some people, but Lord, this is for all people. As your word is a message to all people, I pray that you guide us and help us, Lord. Encourage us, help us to take stock tonight, to see where we are spiritually, to see how we respond to your Lord, and to show us the proper way to respond to thy truth that we're going to hear tonight. I pray that you give me the words to say, help me to say all that I need to say, and to not say anything I ought not. Hide me behind the cross, dear Lord. We submit this time to you. We dedicate it to you. And I pray that we will listen on purpose tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Responding to truth. Your response can tell a lot about a person. How you respond to certain situations can tell where you're at in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the three responses we're going to look at tonight are no exception to that. But before we begin, we've got a little bit of introduction. When we look at truth, what is truth? That's a great question. Many philosophers have asked this question. What is truth? First, we must define what truth is. And it can simply be stated like this. All that comes from God is true. Amen. All that comes from God is true. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. Look over Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. This the concept of truth is rather a simple one, because the lot of the philosophers today, or a lot of the authors of today, even theologians, try to make it very complicated what truth is. The truth that we have and we hold in our hand is the Word of God. And this is God's truth, and God's Word is completely true. Every part of it is 100% reliable, and this is the guide for our life. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 tells us this, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So right here, that when man says God's Word isn't true, or what God is saying is not true, that man is going to end up being found the liar. Because God is righteous, God is holy, God is perfect, God is omnipotent, and many other things, and he is above all things. And what he has given us here in the King James Version of the Bible is 100% God's Word. It doesn't contain God's Word, it is God's Word. and this is truth. So this is what we base the church on. We've been looking at the church and the doctrines of the church. And this is the foundation that we place the church on. That's why we're called a Bible-believing church, because we preach and teach the Bible, but not only that, by calling ourselves Bible-believing, we are assuming that we're going to believe everything it says. And if we believe everything it says, then we're going to do everything it says. At least that's the purpose in it. Now, I know all of us have struggles and have problems at times when we don't follow exactly what the Bible says. Because, why do we do that? Because we believe at that particular moment something else to be true. Now look back at John chapter 8, and we're going to look down a couple verses away from where we were in verse number 44. Verse number 44. So here's the first truth. All that comes from God is true. Amen? We see that. The second truth, all that comes from this world is a lie. All that comes from this world is a lie. Look at John 8:44. For who is the prince of the power of the air? The devil. And right here in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I want you to pay attention to that last phrase, the father of it. So all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is of the devil, and the devil is a liar. Everything the devil says is a lie. He mixes in a little bit of truth here and there to make it sound good, but everything he says is a lie. Amen? We can see that right from Genesis chapter 3. And we can go all through the Bible and we see the influence of the devil in people's lives. And it's always a lie. It is never the truth, but God always speaks the truth. As Christians, truth is something that we should be very familiar with. The truth of the gospel, that man is a sinner and incapable of saving himself, and that he cannot see God, he cannot attain unto heaven on his own, and that he is destined for the pit of hell. But for the grace of God and Jesus Christ coming and dying upon the cross, that we're able to be saved. That's the power and the truth of the gospel, and that's not some little truth, by the way. That is a transforming truth that will transform anyone's life if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we need to be familiar with God's Word. God's Word is truth. We ought to be familiar with that. Lying should be something that is foreign to a Christian. Lying should be foreign to a Christian. It is not something that ought to be done as a Christian, because it says right here that if we are lying, then we are not obeying our Father in heaven, but we are of our father, the devil. Now, that's a very strong statement, and Jesus was making a statement here. Falsehood should not be something that should be a part of our life. Now, have you ever wondered, now, you watched the old movies, and by the way, they're trying to change this, that you ever watched the old movies, you know, in the courtroom scene, and that they put their hand on the Bible, and they have you say this, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, right? That's what they say, but there's a reason why they say those three statements. Why don't they just say, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth? No, they say three things because people can lie in other ways besides just telling a complete falsehood. Because deception and lying, and this is exactly, we see the devil do this in God's Word. We see him do this in Genesis chapter 3. He does all three of these things. The first, just simply a complete falsehood. Something that is completely not true. Something you said that you were somewhere and you weren't, or you said you did something and you didn't do it. Just completely not true. As well, Pastor, we don't do that. Pastor, we don't do that as a Christian. We ought not do that. And that's usually the type of lying we're thinking about. Well, there's two other types of lying, which are a little bit more common, and the devil loves to get into people's lives and make it justified to do this. Now it says here, now we see the truth, and now what do they say? The whole truth. The whole truth. Do you know we can tell the truth, but we can leave certain details out? We can leave certain aspects of it that maybe or make us look less incriminated. Maybe we can make things look a little better, and instead of telling the truth, we give our version of the truth. You know, maybe, do you remember when your mom or your dad, you know, you came in and you had gotten your good clothes dirty? Maybe it was a good pair of shoes, and you were told not to be somewhere. Maybe it was down at the creek, or maybe you were told to stay out of the garden, or whatever it was. And, you know, I said, well, what happened? How did you get that mud on your shoe? Well, you know, I was in the garden, you know, accidentally, right? Or something like that. Basically gave a version of the story where you didn't look as bad. That's just as much lying as telling a falsehood, because it's not accurate. Maybe you're a little older and your mom and dad, maybe you're out somewhere with your friends or you're coming back in or young adult, whatever you may be, and your mom and dad say, hey, where you been? Oh, where are you? I was over here and I was over here. But that you didn't tell them about that other stuff that you knew they would be upset about. But you felt like you told them the truth. You really were at those other two places, but you didn't tell them about the third. That's lying. That's a falsehood. But a lot of people don't see it that way. A lot of people today, they like to lie to the government. I understand that we shouldn't be taxed as much as we are. I understand a lot of things. But when you go and you lie to the United States government, as a Christian, you ought not do that. Amen? You go and lie to get benefits you don't deserve. You lie so you don't have to pay taxes you don't want to pay. That's being dishonest. And that should not be named. That's not telling the whole truth. You tell them about most of the money you make, but you don't tell them about certain things over here. Now, I understand there's certain exemptions and things like that about certain types of income. I'm not talking about that. Something that's not exempt, something that is needs to be told, or maybe it's something that you own, but say, well, I'm not going to tell them about that, so I qualify for this over here. And you would be surprised. I have had people that are financial planners for churches get on the phone and tell me, oh, you need to do this so you can get more in your tax return. You need to do this and to be dishonest. God is not going to bless that. That's not telling the entire truth. And then the last thing is nothing but the truth. Now, this is adding embellishment, exaggeration, embellishing, adding to it. Either to make someone else look bad or make yourself look better. That you go out and then you tell a story, but then you say, you know, maybe you tell a story, maybe you made yourself look better. Well, I did this or that when you did it. Or maybe you said this or that when you did it. And instead of maybe there's some other things that you did that weren't so good, you tell about all the good things you did in that situation. And you embellish and you say, well, they said this or they said that. And when they didn't really say that, that's not telling nothing but the truth. Guess what? In the court of law, people are only interested in one thing, is the truth. They want you, they don't want to have you hold anything back or add anything to it. So now that we have a biblical grasp of what truth is, let's look at three responses. So that's all introduction. So number one, the first response is, cherish the truth. When you hear truth, the truth of God's word, not talking about the truth of the world, but the truth of God's word, that we cherish it. Now, we see this in the Bible, those that heard the truth and cherished it. Look at Acts chapter 2, and we see the Jewish people, this is at Pentecost, and that they heard the word of God, they heard the sermon, they heard the gospel, and they heard that truth, and they were glad. They cherished it. And it says here in verse number 41 that they gladly received it. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So 3,000 people, they heard a sermon in front of thousands, and this is the truth that they wanted. This is the truth that they were longing for. They knew it was true, and they cherished it and took it to their heart, made a decision about it, lived by it, and gladly received it. Praise the Lord. And there's people that do that. There's Christians that do that. By the way, this is the right response to hearing truth. You cherish it. Do you understand that what we have here in the Word of God, not everybody in the world has? Amen. Young people, understand this. You walked in tonight into a air-conditioned auditorium. You walked in. You didn't have to come in special patterns so the secret police didn't find out where you were. You didn't have to hide. You don't have to hide in a little room somewhere and share one copy of the Word of God because it's illegal. That's what they do in China to this day. It's what they do in Cuba. It's what they do in communist countries. I mean, we're blessed and we don't know it. We're blessed that we're able to sit here and we, you know what? And I used to be this. I used to sit in college. And I used to listen to preaching, and have a yawn fest and, man, all of this truth and things like that. But then I was on a missions trip in Africa, and I've mentioned this many times. I'm going to say it again. I'll say it the rest of my days. And this was something that changed my life, and that the missionary said, you know, we were talking about all this schooling and all of this, and we hear all this preaching, and we were complaining. And the missionary said, I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, do you realize that you, at only being a second year in Bible college, that you have learned and heard and understood more Bible than these people will know in an entire lifetime? And who's happier? Who's more joyful? Not us. Why? And he says, you have to understand the gift you have been given. We've been given a great gift of truth, and a great amount of truth, and we're responsible to cherish it. We need to get back to cherishing that. Another group in Acts 17, verse 11, was the Bereans. The Bereans, they were gladly receiving what Paul was teaching them, and they didn't only take Paul's word for it, but they went to the Word of God. And verse number 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They weren't going to take man's word. Nothing wrong with that. I encourage you, go take your Bible and see if what I'm saying is true. Absolutely. You know, by the way, if a preacher does that, well, you don't need to get in your Bible to see what I'm saying is true. You know what he's doing? What he's saying is not in the Bible a lot of the times. You know what? I encourage you to go to your Bible. That's why we're here. This is Bible study night, to study the Word of God. Get into your Bible. And on we see others that cherished it. The truth is presented from God's Word, and it does not change. And those that are thirsty for truth, they're thirsty for something real, not something that's just another lie that they thought it was true, and then it turned out to be a lie. They're looking for something that will answer their questions, and this is what God's truth is, and they see it, and they know it, and the spirit of man knows when he hears truth. The spirit of man knows when he hears the truth of God, and this is it. This is real, and they cherish it. They take it. There are those that, after the Iron Curtain fell in 1991, there was a flood of Bible societies that took Bibles to Romania and Ukraine and different of the former Soviet bloc countries. And they were given Bibles, and these Christians, they took these Bibles and they kissed them, because they had for all of their life said, we'd only seen one entire Bible in our whole life, and they would share only portions of Scripture, scraps, or maybe just one book of the Bible, and they were given freely. And to us, it was like, wow, you know, we've just had Bibles hanging around. I mean, all of us, I mean, how many Bibles do you have at home? 3, 4, 5? I mean, 3 on the bookshelf, 1 in your bed, you know, 1 here at church, you know, 1 in the car, you know, 1 on our phone. I mean, all of these things today, I mean, we have God's Word everywhere, so much so that we don't cherish it like we ought to. These are the ones who take God at His Word. They learn it, they heed it, and they grow. They start here and they begin to grow. They let God's Word change them from the inside out, those that cherish it. This is the proper attitude of any Christian towards the things of God, and this is the proper attitude towards truth that we hear taught. And this is the proper attitude toward truth that we read, to incorporate the truths of God's Word. Now let's look back at John chapter 8 and verse number 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Now notice how the modern versions say set you free. You notice that? There's a difference in the set and make. Actually, I looked it up. I said, you know, because you always see it, set you free. So I looked it up when I was studying this afternoon. And I looked it up and what the word set means. The word set means to put back into a natural position. Means to set it back into a natural where it's naturally supposed to be. Well, guess what? Man doesn't need that. Because man's natural position is a terrible place. We're on our way to the pit of hell. But what this is talking about, the truth, and it is a and the idea here of make, is to transform, to liberate from the inside out. It makes you free. Amen. It makes you free. It makes the heart free. It sets the mind free. It sets everything free, even the flesh and the body from addictions. It'll set you free. It'll make you free. And we look back at the last verse here, and then we go down and we look here at verse number 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It is a promise. But the same word is also used in later on in the passage, when it talks about being a servant of the devil and that he will make you his servant if you follow him. So that brings us, so we know the first truth is okay, the first response, we understand that's what we're supposed to be. The second response is ignoring the truth. Now, this is not a good response. There's only one right response, and that is to cherish the truth. If we're not cherishing it, we're doing one of these other two. That of ignoring the truth. Now, the response that we're looking at is not one of overt rebellion against the truth. Now, we see that all around us. You mean you go to Walmart, you go to the media, you look on anywhere, and you see an overt rebellion by the world against the truth of God, right? Of which gender you are or whatever it is. There's an overt rebellion about what God's truth is, and they're saying, no, that's not true. This is true. This is truth. Now, ignoring the truth is not overt rebellion. And we see a world that is rebelling against the truth of God. That's not surprising to us. God told us that was going to happen. But this silent rebellion of ignoring the truth that you have, the truth that has been revealed to us, we are accountable for. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 on verses 22 through 24. Now, for those of us who have been memorizing the book of James here, this is going to be a familiar passage. And when we look at this, when we look at God's word, or when we hear God's word preached, and we decide, well, I hear this every Sunday, hear this every Wednesday, hear this every Sunday school, I hear it all the time, and I'm just tired of hearing it. You know what? It reminds me of that hymn, Tell It Again. Amen? We tell it again. We should never get tired of hearing God's truth. Now, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, we'll pause in a minute when we get to the deceiving your own selves part. But now, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This is the ignoring Christian. They see the truth, but they decide. It's not that they're feather-brained or whatever. That doesn't mean that they're absent-minded. Oh, I just forgot. No, these are people that are choosing to forget. They're choosing to ignore. They're choosing, well, I don't need to do anything about that, because they don't want to face the truth. They lie to themselves, and they believe it. I don't need this. Now, this is just like people do this. You know who people that do this? People that go on a diet, right? People that go on a diet. You know what? I need to go on a diet. Maybe you need to be more healthy, or maybe you need to lose some weight, or whatever it is. So when you're going through it, and and the first few days are rough when you're starting a new diet, isn't it? It's terrible. If you've never taken a diet before, done one before, maybe you're doing a juicing diet. I mean, I remember when I did that last year. Man, that was terrible the first couple of days. It's just terrible. And you're going through all this grueling. I mean, you're hungry, and you're going through all this grueling. I mean, you're being persecuted. And then you get on the scale, the next day, and like, man, I know I lost 10 pounds. Man, I lost 20. And you gained 2, right? And you get on there, and see, you know what? You look at this, and you think to yourself, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. And you know what? I'm just going to ignore that. And who needs this diet? Right? I can just go on my, I'm okay. I'm fine. You're going to ignore the truth that you need to be healthier. You're going to ignore the truth that you need to lose some weight. And you know what? You're going to go and say, you know what? I'm just going to eat a little healthier, but I don't need to do this diet. And you know what? Guess what you don't do the next day? You don't go to the scale. Or the next day. Or the next day. Or the next week. Or the next 2 weeks, or the next month, and then you walk by it, you know it's there, but you don't want to see the result of it. You don't want to see the truth that it's going to tell you, so you just ignore it, and you let dust come, and you let, you know, maybe when you get out of the shower, or maybe when you're doing something, you throw your clothes on top of it so you don't see it, and then you pull, oh, look, there's a scale there. I'll have to check my weight sometime. You think this to yourself, and in the back of your mind, like, no. I don't want to see the truth. I don't want to know the truth about myself. You know, people do that with their Bibles. You know, they get into the Word of God and they begin reading. And, you know, they're reading the Psalms and the joy. But then you go to the book of Proverbs and you're going to get hit with something. And you go there and, you know, the God's Word begins to speak to you and convict you about some things. And you have a decision to make, either to cherish the truth or you say, you know what, maybe I'll read somewhere else tomorrow. Maybe I'll read in another place. And then you find, and it's an amazing thing when you try and do that, God's Holy Spirit follows you around the Bible because verses that you didn't know spoke about that, they all of a sudden do. That's why it's called the living Word of God. And before you know it, you know what? I don't think I'm going to read my Bible today. You know why? Because you don't want to hear the truth about yourself. Our truth about what's going on. And that's how people get out of reading their Bible, just setting it aside. Well, I don't need that. And they ignore it, and they don't want to see the truth. We can't afford to ignore the truth of God because just because we ignore it does not mean that it's not true. It's kind of like this. You know, remember when two-year-olds do this, when they get to be one, half, two, and they do this, and I'm like, you can't see me, right? How many remember this? You probably don't remember when you did this, but every kid does this one time or another. It's like, I never did. It's like, I'll talk to your parents and see. But you do this, and they say, yeah, you can't see me, because in their mind, if they can't see you, then you can't see them. You know, there's a lot of Christians that walk around like that. And they go to God and say, you can't see me. Guess what? The truth is still the truth. It's still there. Whether you want to ignore it or not, the truth is still there, that sin is still there, and that not being right with God is still there. And guess what? If you remain in the ignoring stage, that's the first step in backsliding. If you get to the ignoring stage, I'm just going to ignore this. I'm going to know, I know what God says, but I just don't like it, and I'm going to ignore it, and maybe it'll go away. Now let's look back at verse number 22, James chapter 1. Deceiving your own selves at the very end of the verse. Now, let me tell you something here. Now, John 8:44, let's look back over there. So we just looked here at the end of this verse, deceiving your own selves. So, well, how does that happen? Look at John chapter 8, verse number 44. So now we're going back to the devil. What Jesus told us of this, that you have your father, the devil. Why? Because you're lying to yourself. You're lying and deceiving your own self. You're believing something that is not the truth, not the truth of God's word. And the lusts of your father ye will do. Now, it didn't say your lusts. It said his. Whatever he wants you to do. If you are influenced by the devil, then you're going to do what he wants you to do, even if you are a Christian. Remember, he's talking here to people that believed on him. Look at verse number 31. And then Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. These people are saved people. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to saved people. That if you can, it is possible for a Christian not to be possessed, but to be so oppressed by the devil and given over to that, that whatever the devil wants them to do, just like a lost person, they'll do whatever the devil wants them to. But how does that come to be? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So nothing the devil says is going to be true, even though people do believe it to be. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. Now here's the last part, and the father of it. Now, right here, this was a thought that I've heard recently. Never really thought of this, but it's so true. In that, when it said the father of it, that we know in James chapter 1 that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And you know, we have to know, in order to have children, there needs to be a mom and a dad. And right here was talking about that in order for a lie to be hatched and for that lust to come forth right there, that there has to be two individuals involved here. You and the other person is what? The devil. That the devil is the father of it. So when we deceive ourselves, it is because the devil has come over here and a direct line, demonic influence we are allowing into our heart and into our mind. When we deceive ourselves, we are giving the devil, opening up the defenses, welcoming him into our life, and allowing him to put a chain of bondage into our life, because he is the father of lies, and he, if we listen to him and believe it, we will do his bidding. And the more lies he gets you to tell, the more bondage, the more control he has over you. The more he has you deceive yourself, the more you are his slave. We don't think of it like that, do we? Well, I made up my own mind about it. The devil would like you to think that. He really would. Well, it was my idea. No, it wasn't. It was his. We take way too much credit, but that's one thing. The devil doesn't really mind if you take the credit, because he doesn't care. He just wants you destroyed. That's all he wants. But he plants the seed. And then he says, just do this, just like with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He plants the seed, and he lets us do the rest. It'll lead us to the last response, that of resenting the truth. Resenting the truth. And we run into people like this. When you go out into the world and, you know, people open the door. You know, we go, you know, we're going door to door and things like that. And they open the door and I'm like, hi, we're from Tabernacle Baptist Church. We want to share the love of Jesus with you today. Or they cuss you out, then slam the door. Guess what? They resent the truth. They don't want it. They have decided that what we have to offer, which is God's truth, the truth of the gospel, isn't true at all. It's really a lie. It's just a bunch of fake religious garbage. That's what they're told. That's what the devil has gotten into their ear, and they have decided that that isn't truth, and that they're what they believe is true. Well, I'm sorry, God is true. Let God be true, and every man what? A liar. So, well, of course, we experience that. Well, you know what? We experience that in Christian people, too. Anybody who's ever preached a message encounters that. Encounters people that, there's people that ignore it, but then there's people that they hear it, and they resent it. You know, it's amazing what you can see up here from preaching from a pulpit. I've preached in many different places. It's amazing. You know, because people sitting here, they think that, oh, the preacher doesn't see my facial expression. Oh, really? He can't keep track of my facial expression and preach at the same time. I didn't used to be able to, but I do try and keep track of people, and I kind of gauge. And you know, I'm like Larry Brown. I like it when he says, you know what, you just keep having a sour attitude about it, I'll keep preaching about it. You know, that's what you just get. Hey, you know, we could have made this message 10 minutes shorter if you had just had a wonderful, sweet smile on your face. You know, but with that, there's people that resent the truth. As you spend more and more time with the devil, you'll begin to act like he does. Because guess what? When he hears the truth, he gets angry. Oh, he gets angry when he hears the truth of what's going to happen to him. You know, the devil hates truth. You know why? Because the truth reveals that one day he will burn like a cinder in the lake of fire. Guess what? He's not happy about that, because he wants to be God. So he hates God, and he hates God's truth. And remember, he is the father of lies. So now we have people that get offended and resent the truth. They resent God's word when they are told the truth. I'm not saying they resent the whole thing, but they resent certain things. Well, God's word doesn't say that. If it says it, it says it. Amen. They resent the truth. They resent when they're told the truth. They resent the preacher when they're told the truth. They resent any authority figure who wants to give them the truth. They get angry and respond with a rebellious spirit. And they're like, how dare the preacher tell me that? How dare the word of God tell me that? How dare God? Hold on a second. What are you saying? How dare God? How dare the Bible? Whoa, back up. You're in a very dangerous place. You don't see it. You're in a very dangerous place. Just like when your mom or your dad come in, or when somebody comes into work and tells you this, that maybe your work area is dirty and whatever, or maybe your mom or dad come in and say, hey, your room's dirty, you need to clean it up. You know, it's a pigsty, you need to clean it up. And what happens is they sit there and the kids get angry and they see you in anger. What is the truth, isn't it? It is messy. You look around, it is messy. But guess what? They're told the truth, and they're told how they can fix it. And instead of just doing it and cherishing it, you know why? I'm so thankful I have a mom or a dad or a boss at work that wants me to do good. They sit and get angry about it, even though it's true. Christians do that about God's Word. They do that about preaching. They do that about a lot of things. And really what it is, what you don't see, is that the devil has you. The devil has you. If that's what your response is, you are like your father, the devil. Well, I'm saved on my way to heaven. You're serving him, though. You're serving him. And we wonder why so many people have no spiritual strength. They have no spirit. They have a spiritual bone in their body. It's been 2 years since he hit an altar. It's been forever since you ever led a soul to Christ. It's been forever since you had any spiritual desire. It's been a month since you picked up your Bible. You know why? The devil's got you. The devil's got you. And you know how he does it? He does it through lies. He lies to you, and then he gets you lying to yourself, and then he gets you lying to other people. That's how he works. And with each one of those lies, it's another cord that he can wrap you up with. It's another web. You know what? Oh, what a twisted web we weave. Or was it? The twist. Oh, what a twisted web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Right? That's exactly true. And just like that, we have another cord that's around us, and a cord that's around us, and a cord that's around us, and we wonder why. No wonder someone can walk up to you, can't detect a spiritual pulse. Can't detect anything. They have no desire to serve God, no desire to do the will of God. You know what? You hear the song tonight, you sit there and get upset about it. What are you talking about, the will of God? I'm doing the will of God. If you're getting that response, you are not in the will of God, not even close. You are no more right with God than the man in the moon. Because the person who is submitted to the will of God, when they sing that song and they hear it, and they said, yes, Lord, I'm not as submitted as I need to be, I'm submitting all over again. That's cherishing the truth. So let's look at some people who resented the truth. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And we see the first rebel that is recorded in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I think sometimes we look at this passage and we just skip over it. And we just see that, well, God is here to ruin my fun. And you know what? God sees and knows all. He knew what was in the heart of his brother. He knew he hated his brother. He knew that what it was going to lead to. And God, in his mercy, you know, people say, why doesn't God stop all the evil and violence in this world? That's what he's trying to do. It's man's choice, but he is trying to stop an evil from happening because he cares about Abel. Also, he cares about Cain. And he told him the truth. Hey, if you just obey, if you just do what's required, won't you be accepted? It's that simple. It's that simple. And by the way, serving God really is that simple. It's that simple. And you know what? We look at it. We know all that happens afterwards. Right, Brother Larson? Wouldn't you think that? I said, man, isn't that a little thing? Just do what God said. Just a little thing. Just something real small. And you look, you're like looking at it and say, Cain, just do it. But he doesn't, does he? Oh, he gets even more angry. And he goes out and he kills his brother. Why? Because he resented the truth. He didn't want to hear the truth about himself, that he had done anything wrong. Oh, how upset we get when we are told we did something wrong we don't think we did. But falsely accused. Well, if God's word says it, it's not false, it's true. And we're the ones that deceived ourselves. Another is Jeremiah 32, verse 36. We'll look at this very quickly, and then we'll close the message tonight. Jeremiah 32, verse 36. Jeremiah 32, verse 36. Now, this is King Jehoiakim, Jeremiah the prophet. He had a prophecy from God. He wrote it down. He had it recorded by Baruch. And Baruch the scribe sent it to King Jehoiakim. Now, this is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. This wasn't a personal, hey, how you doing letter. This was something that had come directly from the mouth of God and was written down. This was scripture. And he sends it to King Jehoiakim. And this was King Jehoiakim's response, verse number 36. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I'll give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I'll put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Going down the last couple of verses. So this is the truth. What happened? Well, we look at what happened here. Jehoiakim decided to do something. He didn't like God's word. He cut it into little slivers with his knife. And he burned it. He said, wow. I think it's in chapter number 31. I think I did a typo here. I think. Anyway, it's in there. Say, phew, sake of time, we're going to go ahead. But this is what happened. Jehoiakim took a penknife, and he was sitting in the winter palace, and he cut into thin little strips, and he put it in the fire. That's what he thought of God's word. No, some Christians do that. They would never take the word of God and do that, but they take God's word with their little penknife of their personal interpretation. Well, God's word doesn't say this. God doesn't need to tell me. God's not going to tell me how to dress. God's not going to tell me what I need to listen to. God's not going to tell me what things I need to not be involved with. God's not going to tell me how I need to talk. God's not going to tell me this or that. So, that doesn't apply to me. Out it goes. You're just as bad as Jehoiakim. Because he didn't like what you heard. Because you resent the truth. Call it copy and paste Christianity. You just like what you take away what you like. You take away the frillies and the fuzzy wuzzies and the blessings. But then you take away all the responsibility that you have out of it. The end of all these people. We look at Cain, Jehoiakim, the Pharisees in Mark chapter 3, verse 22. They said that Jesus cast out the devils and demons by the power of Beelzebub. Who's the devil? That's a pretty serious accusation. Guess what? They resented the truth that Jesus was presenting to them. So what happened to Cain? He was judged and cursed. End was destruction. What happened to Jehoiakim? He was killed by the Babylonians. What happened to the Pharisees? They ruled Jerusalem, but during the takeover of Titus, many of them were killed. and destroyed. Their rule was over. So tonight, how are you going to respond to the truth? And maybe you see it. Maybe you see the deception. Maybe you see the lies. Maybe there's something that you have a lie in your life that you're holding back. Something you haven't confessed to God. Something you haven't confessed to your spouse. Something you haven't confessed to your mom and dad. Something that's holding you there. Something the devil has on you that is binding you. And you know what? If you know the truth shall make you free. And what do we see once again? Look back at John chapter 8 and verse number 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the only way you're going to be free from the devil. That's the only way you're going to be free from dishonesty. The only way you're going to be free from sin. The only way is to have the right response to the truth. As I'm bound, I'm bound, I'm trapped. Then you get to the altar and Jesus will set you free. Tonight, nothing like being set free from sin. Amen? Nothing like it. Meaning you're set free, those things are bound, and guess what? When you get up, you're going to want to do the will of God. You know what? We think we have to have all the want to and everything all lined up ahead of time before we go to the altar. You know what? You get down to the altar so you will want to. If you don't want to, you better be down there. If you don't want to do what God wants you to do, if you don't want to give up your sin, just get down there and start praying. God will get a hold of you down there. Well, I can take care of it in my seat. I can take care of it at home in private. That's just a cop-out, and you know it. It is. Guess what? Been there, done that? Have quite a few T-shirts. That when God was speaking to me in a meeting, yeah, I'll just take care of it when I get home. I'll just take care of it. Really what it is you don't like what you're hearing, and you know you need to take care of it, but you're the ignoring here. I'll ignore it for now. I'll take care of it, and I'll choose to remember it when I get home. Guess what? Let's just be honest. Do you remember when you get home? Nah. Nope. Life goes on, and conviction's gone. Just move on. That's what will happen, and it's a lie of the devil. Don't deceive yourself. Just get it right. Why would you want to wait any longer? Why would you say, you know, how would, now if someone that's in a slave, that's imprisoned in prison, and then you go to let them out, hey, can I wait till later to get out? I mean, I really like it here. I mean, the rats are my friends. I mean, I've trained one. I gave him a name. You know, and the food's great. I only get fed once every 2 weeks, but it's great. I mean, the food's great. And you know what? You're going to look at this person. They're delusional. They're delirious. Something happened. They lost their marbles. And you know what? Any Christian that doesn't want to get right with God and doesn't want to get to the altar and get that right, they're delusional. If you're bound, let Jesus make you free, and you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. As it comes to this invitation time, oh Lord, you know who this message was for. I don't know. I can't see hearts. I can't see lives. You led me to this message and I preached it. But Lord, you know who it's for. You're speaking to their heart right now by thy Holy Spirit. And I pray that they would respond to you tonight. I pray that whoever's listening by way of streaming this evening, that they would submit their heart to you right now. Lord, they're bound. Maybe they have some sin in their life that they didn't see was there before. Or maybe they've just been listening to the influences of the world, the lies of the devil, and they need to repent of those and just hand them over to you and return to cherishing your truth. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray that you would work among us tonight. And Lord, that you bring us back to a place of revival. Take away our backsliding, dear Lord. Help us to return to the place of your truth, to cherish it and to love you, to love all that you have given to us, dear Lord, and to cast away all that is refuse, all that is sinful, all that is binding us, dear Lord. Maybe some are bound so tightly tonight they don't think they can be set free. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would show them the light that only you can give, that you can set them free from all the bonds and chains of the devil. They are no match for you, dear Lord Jesus. For when you said it is finished, all those chains and bondages, all those fetters broke asunder. Just like that maniac of Gadara, dear Lord, he was bound by the devil, and you set him free in a moment of time. And I pray that you would set your people free tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.